Greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Verse 20, the last few words of this verse. Is this really our heart's cry? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Do you really want the Lord Jesus Christ to come? Through the past 6 months of our study of the book of Revelation, you realize that there will only be two groups of people when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Those who are called His children, and those who will be God's enemies. And those who are God's enemies, the Lord will know exactly who they are when He returns. And it will not be a day of blessing, but a day of great judgment upon them. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, must be the cry of every obedient child of God's heart. Last Lord's Day, we study about the New Jerusalem, the capital city of the new heaven and the new earth, how the streets will be paved out of pure gold, transparent pure gold, and the city will be so large and so tall and so high and so broad, so beautifully decorated with all the precious, colorful jewels and gates, 12 gates, each one made up of huge, gigantic pearl with the names of the 12 prophets written, one on each of them. And this would be our home, our capital city. But no mention of any food, no mention of anything else that we could drink or eat. That you'll find in chapter 22. The only food that is mentioned in the new heaven and new earth would be the tree of life. And the drink would be the water, the pure river of water of life that will emanate, proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Those who truly can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, will have these facets from their hearts. And one of them would be found in verse 1 to verse 6. A strong desire to go home at last. To finally set foot in the eternal home that God has prepared for all His children. There is a true, genuine desire and longing to literally be like an alien on this earth. The first time when I set foot in American soil, Los Angeles. It was a nightmare. Nightmare because they stopped me for 2 hours, interviewing me, believing that I had brought in some fake Rolex watches. I don't even wear a Rolex watch. Actually, I don't like Rolex watches. They don't look nice. Anyway, I can't afford one. It's too expensive. Somehow or rather, I've never set foot in America before. Except on that day. Till today, I dare not enter Los Angeles. I'm afraid because they check my name, either my face or my name resembles a guy who sells a fake Rolex watch. Unless he has been arrested and put into prison, the name or that face will still be on the computer. But one thing that struck me when I landed in America was not so much the delay and the interrogation. I was going to take out everything. Empty my bags and ask my wife also to open her bag and everything else, and we have Abigail who was only 9 months old with us, and still they thought that we were bringing in Rolex watches. The first thing that struck me was citizens, aliens. And I quickly queue up second alien, number two on the line. Felt very insulted. Calling us alien, coming into this land. And yet on hindsight, that is exactly what we should feel when we open our eyes, walking in this world. We are to be aliens, because we are to be Christ-like, having the attribute and the character and the nature of the communicable attributes of God in every believer. In the way that we think, in the way that we speak, in the way that we conduct ourselves, in the way that we live, in the way that we find certain things that are so delightful, the world will find very mundane and tasteless and dry. That which they think that is so exciting and so wonderful to us would be sinful. We are alien. We cannot feel comfortable in this world. Because this world is not our home. We must long for a home. Every day in America, I long for home, Singapore. Love to be in Singapore. Never wanted to be in America, except for studies. And can't wait to come back as soon as possible. Do you have this longing for home? Because if we have no genuine longing for home, which is heaven, eternity, the New Jerusalem, when we read of the great delights of this pure river of the water of life, we cannot cry with the same kind of intensity and urgency from the heart like the Apostle John. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. When all these were revealed to him, to the Apostle John, he realized the Isles of Patmos and all that he had endured, for he was living in the evening years of his life, they would be worth it all. Worth it all. He lived a tremendous life in obedience to the high calling as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he was put in prison for the testimony of the Word of God and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he received this tremendous vision from the Lord to encourage him. And so his cry, the last and final words from an apostle of God, and for us, the last and final words in the whole Bible, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Is this your real and genuine cry? Longing for home, coming home at last. A pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Water has always been seen as a sustainer of life and a source of life. There was also a river emanating from the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2. Branch out into four tributaries. Water was what Jesus Christ described himself to be when he spoke to the woman of Samaria. I am the living water. Not only can I give you the living water, I am the living water. And once you believe in me, once you drink of this living water, it will emanate from your heart rivers of water that will never stop flowing. And here we have a picture of this pure river of the water of life emanating from the throne of God and of the Lamb. If water represents eternal life, this would be the message and the picture. For all eternity, we will be reminded that why we are here, how we are here, in heaven, in eternity, surrounded by the glorious, wonderful New Jerusalem with all the magnificent colors of the rainbow, all there for us. And when you look at the throne of God with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you see this river of water coming forth, reminding us that He is the source of our eternal life, God Himself. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. It's a very unusual tree, right in the midst of this river, which bear there 12 manners of fruits. Trees today bring forth only one kind of fruit. Apple tree, apples. Orange, orange. That's the will of God from the very beginning of time. In Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2. They will each reproduce after its own kind. But in heaven, everything will be different. The tree of life, not the old tree of life in the Garden of Eden. This is a brand new tree of life. That tree of life in the Garden of Eden destroyed during the global flood in Noah's days. This would be a brand new tree. Remember, the whole earth exploded into nothing. It would be a brand new earth. It is not a remodeling of the surface of the earth, which was the case in Noah's time, which was the case before the millennium. But for the new heaven and new earth, it will be a brand new earth. Nothing about food except this particular tree. Nothing about other vegetation except this particular tree. It is known as the tree that is characterized by life. And the 12 manner of fruits, singular. Of course, this is in italics. 12 fruits, literally. And yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Every part of this tree is edible. Is good for food. Not that they will need any healing. It just simply tells us that every part of it is good. This tree of life is literally characterized by life, including the leaves. What does it represent? It reminds us, therefore, of who we are, what we are. The salvation that we have is rich, is multifaceted. Think of the eternal life that you have. Think of your Christian life, even right now. Is it not a wonderful life? It is not a joy and a great honor to be alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that you are serving Him? We are only sad when we are disobedient. Even in the deepest hour of our lives, when our loved ones are snatched away from us because of death, we can still rejoice. Even when the Apostle Paul was languishing in prison away from all the spiritual sons and daughters whom he loved very much, he could still rejoice. Because as a Christian, our life is so rich. It has so many sides and so many facets to it. And in eternity, that will become a reality as represented by this tree of life, describing to us the wealth and the richness of the salvation that we have, eternal life. And by the way, although we may exist in eternity, the Bible here tells us that with every passing month, a new fruit will come forth. Time will not be destroyed. There will still be time in eternity, because with every month there will be a new fruit from this tree of life. And every month there will be a new fruit. So every time you see a new fruit, it is the passing of 1 month. There is not going to be any clock. The tree of life will be our clock, as it were. It will be on a monthly cycle, not a second or minute hand cycle. We are not so much concerned, therefore, of the minute details of every second, because right now, when you are given only 80 years, and by reason of strength, another 10 more years, every second matters. That's why our watches are based upon second, minute. Give a watch that is millisecond, there will be a stopwatch, milliseconds. Because time is precious to us. But in eternity, we will have a totally brand new perspective of time. Time will still be there. But our view of time will be very different. We're not going to think of bye-bye and death and disease. Time will still be very precious and valuable, but we'll think of it differently. We'll think of eternity. How am I here? How did I get here? How wonderful it is to be with my loved ones who are all here together in eternity. Your husband, your wife, your sons, your daughters, your friends, your family, brothers, sisters, parents. How wonderful and blessed it is to be found at home. Eternity. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. No more curse means no more death. No more death means no more sin. In other words, the Bible here tells us in heaven it will be a place where there is no sickness, no disease, no death, no sin, nothing of that which is so common today. Totally different. No more curse. Because curse was still found in the millennium. We read that in Isaiah 65. Because there is still death. Therefore there is still sin. But not in the new heaven and new earth. Everything will be fresh. Everything will be brand new. Everything will be without sin. Sinless. Not even tainted by the stain of sin. And they shall see his face, that is the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his name shall be in their foreheads, which represents ownership and possession. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, because since there is no night, there is no need for the candle, there is no need for the light of the sun, because both of them are temporal nights, temporal lights. Candles you need because it is nighttime. You need the candle. The sun and the candle, they are temporal lights. When we have the permanent light, that is the light that emanates from God Himself, the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. When we have the permanent light that is God Himself, there is no night. No need for sleep, no need for rest, because we have the glorified body that is supernatural, powerful, eternal, that never grows tired. And the Bible says, we will still be serving the Lord. The servants shall serve him. 3b. Skip that, just to highlight the point. Not that we are not going to do anything. You'll still be serving. Now the word servants there will be doulos, slaves. Still be slaves, permanently. Sons and daughters, sure. Rule and reign with Christ, sure. But what are you going to do? You're going to serve. Serve whom? Serve the Lord. Serve God. This is our home. Those who can cry, even so come Lord Jesus, will have this deep desire to go home. To find that they are so uncomfortable in this world. Because it is so full of sin. No matter how you may try to make it as comfortable as possible, you must remember, as a Christian, an obedient Christian, you are an alien. You are an alien in this world, because it is not your home. You are bound for heaven. And this is only the transition, our journey toward our final destination, and that's home. And in this home, you and I will be reminded eternally that our eternal life emanates from the source who is God Himself. And this life is so rich, as represented by this tree of life, multifaceted. And we will be serving the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, seeing Him face to face and serving Him for all eternity. And it will be the greatest, greatest joy that could ever, ever be given to any creature. And God says, you are my servant today. Today, you are my servant. Why don't we serve the Lord? Because that is what we are going to do for the rest of eternity. Serving Him. It is a great joy, great delight. Don't serve man. Serve Him. Give your very best to Him. He is the best, best master that you could ever serve. He will never fail you. He will never abuse you. He will always care for you, look after you, and He will always be there for you when you are tired. Our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve Him now so that you will enjoy serving Him in eternity. The second thing that we need to note, when we can really cry, even so come Lord Jesus, verse 7 to verse 12 and verse 18 and 19, will be we are people who will keep on obeying the word. Those who have the highest regard for the Word of God, who continues to keep on obeying the Word of God, where the Word of God is their roadmap to life, of life. They will long for home. They will really cry from their heart, even so come Lord Jesus. It's when we read other literature and our minds are occupied by all kinds of literature other than the Word of God. And where do you find all kinds of literature? What does all the rest of the literature describe? Describe the world. Describe the pleasures of the world. Describe the things of the world. And when our minds are filled with the pleasures and the things and the events and the activities of the world, how to think of heaven? But when our hearts and our minds are full of the Word of God, we think of God, we think of eternity, we think of what the Word of God has revealed to us in Holy Scriptures. So those who can really cry, even so come Lord Jesus, you will find that they will keep on occupying themselves with the Word of God and obeying it. Verse 6, He that said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, describing the Word of God. It is faithful, it will come to pass, and it is true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angels to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. It may appear a long, long time for us, what this had been written. From now, it's about 2,000 years. But as far as God is concerned, it is a short while. Short while. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that continues to keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. You believe that it is faithful and true, then you must obey it. Keep it. Hide it in your heart. Let the present life be transformed, be changed in light of what God has revealed to you in this book. That's what it means by those who will continue to keep the sayings of the prophecies of this book. Because the word keeper there is in the present tense. Keep on doing it. Don't just say, I did it last week, I don't need to do it this week. You keep on doing it with every passing day. Keep on. occupying. Keep on reading so that your mind will be occupied with the Word of God, thinking of heaven, of what God says, and not so much occupied by the stocks and the shares of this world. The World Cup. Who scores how many goals? Who is going to be the next Wimbledon champion? Who is going to be the next Singapore Idol? Who is going to be the next this, next that? The pleasures of the world. That's what the Bible tells us in the last days. There will be a generation that will love the pleasures of the world more than they love God. And we are living in that generation. Because the pleasures of the world are now before us. Anytime, any day, noonday, midnight, morning, anytime, 24 hours. The pleasures of the world, we carry it everywhere we go. We leave house, it's in the house, we come out of the house, it's in our bags, we take out our bags, it's in our pocket. Pleasures of the world. Phones are no more just phones, right? From the phone, you have PDA and you have games. All kinds of games. And now they're going to come up with the phones that will give us television. And then now you have 3G. You can get all kinds of things right on the dot. Pleasures of the world. We are surrounded by it. Every which way we turn our head, every waking moment surrounded by the pleasures of the world. How to think of heaven? If you don't think of heaven, why must I say, come Lord Jesus? You'll probably cry, even so, don't come, Lord Jesus. It's our cry, because the pleasures of the world are so pleasurable. I want to enjoy life first. When I'm old and I'm crickety and I can't even move, I can't even crawl, come, Lord Jesus, please come. Right? That's what many of us are thinking. You may not admit it, but that's what we are thinking, right? We are already planning where to go end of the year, my holiday. Please, don't come this year, Lord. Right, you want to go to Switzerland or some other part of the world, all planned, all ready, all nice? When we face adversities, please come, Lord, please come. This is not what the Bible teaches. Don't only cry for the Lord to come when life on earth is miserable. When we are facing exams, facing retrenchment, facing a terminal illness, come, Lord, please come, I can't take it any longer. This must be a continuous, consistent cry from the heart of God's obedient children. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come. Because I really want to go home to be with you. Paul says, now I live by faith and not by sight. Why? Because he longed to be living by sight. Not in the bad sense. This is living by sight. See Jesus face to face. He longed for that blessed day. That's why he can cry from his heart. From his heart. For me to live is Christ. As long as I have breath in my body, I'm going to live for Christ. But if I have to die, it is gain. It is gain. It is no loss. Because he can say the first part. If you cannot say the first part, it's so hard to say the second part. Isn't it? So hard to say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, because for me to live is not Christ. So I cannot say to die is gain. But Paul could. Paul could. Because he kept on obeying the will of God, the word of God in his life. Did he long for home? Truly, definitely. For now I live by faith, but very soon I'll live by sight, seeing Christ Jesus face to face. That's exactly what the Bible says. Face to face. Don't you long to see Christ, your Savior, face to face, to see Him? A tremendous, tremendous longing. To do that, you must keep on obeying the Word of God. Keep the sayings of this prophecy so that you will not forget it. You will remember it in your very, very depths of your soul. Nothing, no matter how attractive the world may offer, may thrust at you, you will not forget. Because life changes people. We may say one thing tonight. We may say a totally different thing tomorrow, or the next week, or the next month. But if we hide God's word in our heart, remember what God has revealed to us that He will do to this earth. If you and I could really remember this, you would understand how futile it is for us to hold on to something that will be destroyed by God Himself. It will turn to ashes, literally ashes. Then, no matter how attractive the world might be, you will not be moved. Because the Spirit of God will bring to remembrance what you have kept in your heart. The book of Revelation in particular, that God has revealed to us. And so when you go out to work, when you see your colleagues all vying for their little bonuses here, the little promotion here and there, you will be able to rise above all these things. And when you see your classmates studying hard, pursuing after this scholarship, that scholarship, you will study even harder, not for any scholarship, but for your Savior. You give your very best. And whether scholarship comes or not, it does not matter. I'm studying for my Savior, to bear a good witness and testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's your calling as a student. Don't say, oh, the Lord is coming, I don't need to study, I just dress in white, I sit up there on Mount Bukit Timah Hill and then wait. Your parents will come after you and pull you down and change your clothes. Go back to school. You do the will of the Father. For me to live is Christ until the Lord comes. Then when you see Him face to face, to die will be truly your gain. And you can cry from your heart sincerely, even so, come Lord Jesus. Because no matter how good the life may be here on earth with Christ Jesus, it's nothing compared to seeing Christ face to face. That's the Apostle Paul's longing, and that's the Apostle John's longing as well. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. He was so thankful, so happy. And when I had heard and seen, he fell down to worship the angel who gave him the message, who carried the message to him. Before the feet of the angel, he showed me these things. And then said he unto me, that is, the angel said to him, see thou do it not. Hey, don't do this. Get up, for I am thy fellow servant. The word servant there is also slave. Sundulos, that means I am just like you, a fellow slave. Not only just like you, I'm also just like your brothers, the prophet. Now, he is the apostle, representing the New Testament. I'm just like your brothers, the Old Testament. Not only identified with them, I'm also a servant with you, servant with the prophets. I'm also servant, just like those of them which keepeth the sayings of this book. That would be us. That would be us. Wouldn't it? The apostles, New Testament, the prophets, the Old Testament saints, and then to anyone, to all of us, who would keep the sayings of this book. Which book? Not only the book of Revelation, the whole Bible. Keep the word of God. And so the angel says, I'm just like you, like all the rest of the believers who would obey the scriptures. Worship only God, because that's going to be our eternal occupation, worshipping God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Don't hide it and keep it to yourself. Tell the world, for the time is at hand, it's very near. What will the word of God do? Well, verse 11 tells us, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, the word of God will reveal to us who are those who are unjust, who are those who are filthy. That is exactly what they are and what they will be if they disobey the word of God. The word of God will be the yardstick, will be the key. Those who keep the word of God, it will demonstrate and show who they are. They will be the righteous and they will be righteous still. They will be holy, they will remain holy still. Those who reject the word of God, who will not keep the word of God, they will be filthy. They will be filthy still. They will be unjust. They will be unjust still. The word of God will be the yardstick, will be the measure. And don't use it on your neighbor, use it on your own heart, in yourself, to yourself. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be, to every child of God. This is God's promise. He delights to reward us. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Is this a genuine, sincere cry from our hearts? And there must be a deep longing for home, heaven. Then we must keep on obeying the word of God. The word of God will occupy our heart, our mind. constantly. There is a thirst, there is a longing to study the Word of God, to know more of the Word of God, so that our minds will be occupied with the Word of God and the things of God and the revelation of God. Or else we're going to occupy our minds with worldly things. No thought of even so come, Lord Jesus. And third, verse 13 to 17, God says, keep coming to the Lord. It's never too late to come. Come to the Lord tonight. This is the Lord's offer to you. I am Alpha and Omega, the Lord Jesus says, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Alpha, first letter of the Greek alphabet, Omega, the last letter of the Greek alphabet, saying to us, every word, every literature, I'm the Alpha, I'm there. Right at the end, I'm also there. Alpha and Omega. I will have the last word. I will have the first word. The beginning and the end of what? Of every activity. Jesus Christ will be there at the beginning of the activity, and Jesus Christ will be there at the end of every activity. No one will have the last deed, the last act Jesus Christ will have. He will have the last word on everything. He's going to do the last deed on every action. I'm the first and the last. In terms of position, Christ will be first and He will also be there at the very last. In other words, He is sovereign over everything. Every word spoken, every deed done, every status and standing, He is sovereign. He is in control. And He says to all of us tonight, blessed, the last and final blessed, the beatitude in this book. Blessed are they that do His commandments, keeping the word again, that they may have right to the tree of life, to the multifaceted rich salvation that Christ has accomplished for us, that He may enter in through the gates, the pearly white gates, and into the city, the New Jerusalem. He is sovereign. He has the key to eternal life, and He's offering us that right to come in, because He has the right to offer it. Keep coming. Coming to the Lord. For outside are dogs, sorcerers. The dogs there represents the wicked, the evil, the unkempt, the outcast, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters. These would be those who dabble in witchcraft, wizardry, which is definitely on the rise in our age and our time, with Harry Potter and many of the movies that you find in cinemas as well as in television, on the paranormal, the extraterrestrial, black magic, the supernatural. And then you have the whoremongers, all kinds of sexual impurity, including homosexuals. Homosexuals who have no part in the kingdom of heaven. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise, that you can be a Christian and a homosexual at the same time. If you are a Christian, you will not be a homosexual. You know it is heinous and sinful and evil in the sight of God, and you have nothing to do with the kingdom of heaven if you are a homosexual. Don't let any liars tell you otherwise. Idolaters, those who worship idols. Murderers, those who kill, assassinate people's character and name by telling lies, and those who love and maketh a lie. Not only do they love lying, they will create lies. When there is no lie, they will manufacture lies. And there are some people who are like that. Everything that they speak, everything that they write, they simply can't tell the truth. They simply can't write the truth. That's very frightening that there are such people around in the world. They are so good in distortion. The frightening part is they think they are sincere. They think they are telling the truth. That's the scary part, when they are actually telling lies. It's second nature to them. And I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. It described for us His heritage. I am the root of David. That describes His deity. I was right there even before David was born. and I am the offspring of David, that speaks of his humanity, his lineage. I am the root, his deity, offspring, his humanity of David, and the bright and morning star. I am the giver of light. Morning star is right from the very beginning of time. The morning star, the first star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The offer from the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, to every one of us. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, because he desires you to be found in his holy presence in heaven. Do not let pride stop you. Do not let the lust of the eyes stop you. Do not let the lust of the flesh stop you. Come to the Savior. No sins can be so heinous in the sight of God that the blood of Christ cannot cleanse. And no sin that is so trivial that you do not need to confess it. Confess it to the Lord, all our sins. And the Savior says, I can wash it as white as snow. The offer is given to all. Come. Come to the Savior. Your home will be in heaven, the eternal, blessed New Jerusalem, glorious, magnificent, and mighty, which describes the great and wonderful, tremendous salvation that we have. It is so rich, words cannot fully describe it. Our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So wonderful to be a Christian, to rise above the things and the affairs of this world, because we are citizens of heaven with the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ, helping us to serve him joyously, happily, fervently, until we see him face to face. But then a final warning to those who do not want to keep the word of God. Not only do they not want to keep it, but they want to desecrate the word of God. A final warning. This does not only include the book of Revelation, but also the whole Bible. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Don't ever, ever tamper with the word of God. These two verses can only have authority and significance and meaning if we have the perfect Bible in our hands. If the Bible has mistakes, what's the deal with adding a little bit more mistakes to it? If the Bible already has mistakes, what's the big deal of minus a bit more? It's already full of mistakes, some would argue. These two verses can have all meaning and significance if we still have the perfect Word of God with us. And we do have, by God's grace and mercy, the perfect Word of God is still with us, because God himself had said, I will preserve the Word of God which I have purified 7 times. The purest way that you could ever purify any silver or gold. God said, I have purified my word and I will preserve them forever. Forever. From this generation onwards, it will be forever. This is when I reveal it to this generation, that I will preserve my word into eternity. And don't anyone dare to add to it or subtract from it. The warning is clear. Very clear from God himself. And he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. The response? Even so. Come, Lord Jesus. Is this genuinely from our heart? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Do we have this heart's cry? Every child of God must. Because we must long for home. And to do that, we must keep on obeying the word of God and not undermine it, but obey it, study it, obey it, love it. And then we must keep on coming. Keep on coming and tell others to come. Come to the Savior, come to the Lord. Because he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Keep on coming to him. Don't stop coming. Come to the Lord. And then from the heart we can truly say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And the benediction, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you all. not the peace, not the mercy, but the grace. Why? Because the grace speaks of the many, many blessings that God will give to us, which we do not deserve. And that's what John wants for all of us, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the manifold blessings that God would give to us, that we do not deserve, may be given to every one of us tonight. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for seeing us through the study of the book of Revelation these past 6 months. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy sustaining grace and mercy in our lives. And we pray, Father, that the Word of God will continue to have free reign over every heart, that the Word of God will be hidden in our heart, that we may not sin against Thee, that we may know Thee and to know Thy Word. And we pray, Father, that Thou will place in our heart this deep, sincere cry, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus," a cry and a longing for home. But in the meantime, may every child of Thine keep on obeying and keeping the Word of God and keep on coming to Thee, O Lord, and to challenge others to keep on coming to Thee as well. O Lord, may we be found faithful, serving Thee fervently, zealously, and remaining steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, even as we long and wait with great expectancy for our Lord Jesus Christ to return in power and in glory. And we will all then be found at home in Thy holy presence, seeing Thee face to face. For now we walk by faith, but soon we shall live by sight. And may that day be soon. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.